This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
I open with this quote. Do we really want to travel in a medically sealed Pope Mobiles through the rural provinces of France, Mexico and the Far East, eating only in Hard Rock cafes and McDonald's? Or do we want to eat without fear, tearing into the local stew, the humble Takara's mystery meat, the sincerity offered gift of a lightly grilled fish head? I know what I want. I want it all, and I want to try everything once. Anthony Bourdain. Sorry. Good afternoon and welcome to Cravings. I'm Nathan Miller. Pete Dillon's dulcet tones will not be flowing out of your speakers on this cool Melbourne lunchtime. So I'm here to left to the steering device. I have a lovely co-host or navigator for today's Cravings, and it's the delightful and talented and all-round nice person. That's a mouthful, Danny Venn.
I feel very blessed to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Nate.
Pleasure. For those who don't know Danny, she's a self-taught cook, most widely known for her time in MasterChef Australia in 2011, where she was a finalist, and again MasterChef All-Star in 2012.
I'm old school MasterChef
now. Old school.
Totally.
Yeah.
2011.
Yeah. I know.
That's like
black and white days. But since then, she's gone on to host Weekend Feast on Channel 10, dabbled in breakfast radio with Tommy Little on Nova FM, cook her way around the country at live food events, created recipes for food companies, and so on and so forth, and 400 guests in Mumbai. And Harlow can't be here today. I had it here that Harlow was going to come and visit
us. Oh, yes. Harlow is my beautiful seven-month-old baby, and she was going to come into the studio, but my mum has taken her, and I think she's a little bit snotty today. That's the thing with seven-month-old babies. They're just running like a tap. That's snot. It's disgusting.
And they don't stop when they're 19. Just my parenting advice. So welcome to Cravings.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back behind the microphone at Joy FM today.
Excellent. So just let's get started. Today we're going to talk about food. Food and travel.
Oh, two of my favourite things.
I know.
I think most people would have those in their top favourite things, food and travel.
I was talking to a travel writer yesterday, and he said he used to write only about travel. He now writes 50-50 because you can't travel without food.
Exactly.
And you can't eat and travel. So it goes hand in hand.
Totally does.
And as my suntan quickly disappears after 10 days in lovely Noosa, up there for the Food and Wine Festival, I thought, why not spend an hour talking about food and travel?
I think that sounds like an amazing thing to talk about. And I'm so jealous that you were up in Noosa for 10 days.
Yeah.
Are you bragging slightly?
Just a little, but I'm white now, so it's all over, and I'm cold and I've got a snotty nose too. So since MasterChef, you've been busy with Harlow, writing, appearances, etc. How do you balance your time? Like, what's the secret to being a new mum?
I wish I knew the answer to that, because it's every day is a challenge. Every day you're throwing something different. The first, I think, 6 weeks of being a new mum, I mean, it was an achievement to have a shower. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Now, 7 months down the track, I can dress myself and get out of the house quite quickly. It's so funny, though. I end up carrying nappy bag, baby, shopping, keys, and I can do
Chef's knives.
Exactly.
Chef's carrots.
Knives, that's
just
it.
Just don't get the two mixed up.
Yeah.
The police don't like it when you get off the train and you've got the two mixed up.
I've actually went through airport security once with the chef knife in my handbag and got pulled up. They were like, do you know what you've got in your handbag? And I saw in the x-ray, just a massive knife.
Oh.
So that didn't go down too well, but luckily they had recognized me from the show and they kind of laughed it off. I'm like, that would never happen if I was of a different racial look.
Exactly.
But balancing my time, it is a bit of, you know, just you have to be organized. You have to sort of plan ahead, plan meals, that kind of thing, and just keep on top of it on a day-to-day basis and just, yeah, take everything in your stride. Don't be too hung up on making things perfect because nothing's perfect, especially with spew on your shoulder.
So bring it back to food. And, you know, some of us have started our food journey at the age of 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
I got my first taste of what it's like to work in a commercial kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Strange story.
Is that a child labour?
Yeah, it is. Or? Yeah. Well, when I came in, no, anyway. My parents had the Portsea Hotel many years ago. And my mum was pregnant with twins. So my mum couldn't look after me at the same time because I was a handful. So my dad would take me to the pub and I'd sit there and the head chef would sit me up on the end of the counter as the food went out to the garden bistro and I'd put maraschino cherries on the dessert. So it went two for me, one on a plate, two for me,
love
one
it.
On a plate. So that was my first taste. What was yours like? Like, you haven't come from a food background?
No, I haven't. I guess I came from my mum. My mum always loved cooking and I remember when I was a young girl and mum was getting cooking classes from Elizabeth Chong. Do you remember Elizabeth Chong back in the 80s?
Yes.
One of my first cookbooks, actually, or mum's first cookbooks as well, is like Chinese cooking for Australia. You know, that kind of beef and black bean, sweet and sour pork kind of thing. So that's what I grew up loving. And I just, I loved Asian food, but that was what I thought Asian food was. Like that kind of suburban Chinese-y kind of thing.
The westernized.
That's
style.
It.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with it. Amazing. Like, and it was better than my friends, you know, mash and, you know, overboiled vegetables they were having next door or something like that. But I went to Vietnam when I first finished school. And that was when I guess I was really, my eyes were really opened up to those fresh, amazing Asian flavors, fresh herbs, street food, all of those unusual smells and fish sauce. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it's not just like a saucy stir fry. It's fresh, it's vibrant, it's crunchy. Yep. It's got all of those little things
sweet,
that I love
sour,
about
spice.
Exactly.
Yep.
Vietnamese and Southeast Asian food. And from that point, I think that's when I really became obsessed with cooking. I came home, wanted to be able to recreate those flavors.
Okay.
And at that time, it was probably when Luke Nguyen was just starting out and he just released his Secrets of the Red Lantern cookbook.
Yep.
And that was kind of a book that changed my life a lot.
Okay.
Like, it was the book that I just loved cooking out of and I learnt so much from, and it sort of just went from there.
Okay. But then you went off and studied?
I did. I always thought, oh, well, I can't be a serious person and work with food. Now I know that that's not true, but I just didn't think of it as a serious career.
Okay.
Now I can make a living off food.
Excellent. Now we're going to talk about, so travel and events. Do you do many events these days or where do you sit with that?
You know, there's so many MasterChef contestants out there now, it's hard to get a job. But I have done a lot of travelling with and going to events.
Yep.
I've actually worked with a travel company on their food adventures as well. So I've been sent over to Thailand and places like that to do that kind of thing. But I have travelled around Australia a lot.
Yep.
Not so much at the big name festivals, but, you know, because I'm not that big a name.
Oh, now.
But I love Tassie and I've been to the festival in Tasmania. I think it's Taste of Tasmania.
Yep,
that one. And yeah, absolutely love travel and food.
Okay, excellent. Well, you're on Cravings with Nathan and Danny, and we'll be right back after these few messages.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Joining us on the phone to talk all things sunny Queensland is a Victorian chef from the European group of venues. Looks after 4 venues, 3 kitchens, 30 staff. I'm getting tired reading all this. Ian Curley, how are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. Are you in Melbourne?
I am in Melbourne. I'm in very sunny Melbourne, actually.
It is.
Out there today.
It's gorgeous today. I'm really wanting a Bloody Mary and sitting on a rooftop. That's what I want.
Okay. Funny you should mention that, because we have a rooftop and we serve Bloody Mary.
Oh, I'm coming down. That's it.
Yeah. Quarter past 2.
You come on down.
Ian, we're talking travel and food, well, more so food travel, apart from travel on its own or food on its own. You do a lot of festivals around. You've got a young family and a wonderful wife. How do you find time with everything that you do?
You got to prioritise, obviously, and also you got to choose very wisely which ones you want to do. I mean, recently I've done a couple of things for the Victorian government in Jakarta and again in Singapore. So they're good for profile, and also the fact that you're going to get to network some people, and you think the people in Singapore who are, if you like, high-end earners, they're going to come back to Melbourne and use places like Supper Club and Siglo and stuff like that. You got to choose the things like that.
So you see it's as a benefit doing all this travel and talking about yourself and your restaurant and your food and
absolutely. If you go to Singapore, last week I was in Singapore when I was doing there's a 400 person lunch for a thing called the Carbine Club, when they have affiliates over here and they do lots of footy racing and all that sort of stuff. It was a lunch over there. It's 400 Aussies who come back to Melbourne regularly. When they're in Melbourne, they're going to think, where do I go out to eat? Hopefully, if the Europeans on their mind, they don't go to places like Chin Chin or Ezard or any of those. They come to us.
Why would you?
And the same thing with it is, we're all chasing the same dollar. It's
exactly.
Whether or not you get a Ben on or, you know, that, whilst we all love each other and the whole thing about doing stuff, we're all chasing, we all want to be busy so we can afford to pay our staff, essentially. No, so you've got to go out there and carry the message and say, this is what we do. I mean, we're lucky that we've got enough avenues here to do the restaurant, the city wine shop, the grocer, you know, all that sort of stuff, and the cheesecake.
Yep.
So you just got to, you know, keep yourself out there, because we don't pay for public relations. So we don't have an agent, or we don't have somebody in there putting us in a Sunday magazine looking up, saying, look how good we are and all that sort of stuff.
It's just your good looks and curly long hair that attracts people in.
Well, it will be my good looks that drives people into the place. But once they're in here, we got them trapped.
Yeah.
So. I think your food speaks for itself, and also the intimate venues. They're very Melbourne, and they're very unique. I love them. But what is a favourite destination for you to go to in Australia for food festivals?
Oh, for food festivals, I would say if I wasn't away this week, I would have been in Noosa.
Yep.
Because it's like schoolies for droolies, isn't it? I
mean, there was a party on the Saturday night, Mr. Curley, my face.
I would imagine. So you go up there and there'll be the pork star party and all that sort of stuff, and you got all those, and the clams, the Razorback clam party.
Yep.
So that's good for if you haven't caught up with all your other people from the, you know, you haven't seen anybody from Sydney or Cairns or Adelaide for a while, so you're all sort of like in that pen. And you kind of catch up with people, and you know, you've got your chef celebrities, and you've got the people who are the celebrities of the celebrities and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you know.
So what is it in a festival that you need that you look for before you say yes or no? Is there anything in particular?
You got to say to yourself, why am I going to do it, first of all? And because what happens is, once you've got a family and you've got a partner and stuff like that, you got to think to yourself, first of all, why am I going to go and spend 3 days away or 4 days away? If that's your thing, it's probably a whole lot better when you're single.
Because you have a family?
Well, that's right. So, well, this is the thing. If you're away for 3 or 4 days and you're going up there on your own and you've got one dinner on, I doubt very much you're going back to your hotel room doing your own.
Right? No, I don't think so.
So what I tend to do is I take the family with me and they get to stay at the RACV club and they go swimming and stuff like that. And I do the dinners and then we wander around with the kids. That works for me.
Excellent.
For other people who like to go up there on their own and catch up with their mates and stuff like that and go to the Rolling Rock and stuff like that, that's up to them. But as you get older...
That happened once and you had to bring it up.
Yeah, well, that's it. And also, you know, you've got one sheep and all that sort of stuff. So the thing with it is up there, if you want to go over with a group of other chefs and stuff like that and go out and bond and all that sort of stuff, fantastic. And also, the public like to see chefs out there. If you're going to be sitting in a restaurant at Thomas Corner and all those other places, then they like to see you out and about.
So accessibility for good, well-known celebrity chefs.
Well, that's it. Yeah. And if you want to wander around...
Bang for your buck.
You want to Yeah, you want to go around and see, oh, look, there's Jacques Raymond over there, yep. or there's Mark Best, and, yep. and you know, oh, my God, there's Colin Fastidge. You know? I've seen him on the TV. You know, he's not as good looking as he looks on TV. He's got a bit of makeup.
There's makeup there. I don't know. Saturday night, there was makeup.
There's a lot of that going on up there. But also, he's from Sydney. So there's a lot of that Sydney stuff going on, and they turn their collars up and all that sort of stuff, which is fine. You
know? I love how you say it, Ian. This is fantastic.
You know, the Sydney-Melbourne thing is, you know, and Sydney at the moment, they're having a bit of a renaissance, and, you know, they've got some good things going on up there and all that sort of stuff. Melbourne's Melbourne. We don't do that. We don't do the fashion thing.
We're a bit more down to earth here, don't you think?
Yeah, well, we're a classic black cocktail dress. They're a bit,
sequence and...
Well, yeah. you know,
stuff.
I didn't want to work.
Cool. Just one last thing before we leave you. Yeah. Nice and cold outside. What's a nice, easy, simple dish that we can knock up at home on a Saturday night?
If I was everybody, I would go out and get a cooking book out and go and do a good Navarin, or my head chef, he's put on a blanquette of veal on at the moment, which is fantastic. I'm very good at it as well. Bit of mustard sauce with lots of tarragon, good herbs.
Nice glass of red.
Yeah.
Perfect. See you Tuesday. You
know? Yeah, fantastic. See you next Tuesday. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Thanks, Kels.
Take care.
Cheers. That was Ian Curley from the European in Melbourne, who I've seen around the traps at a few festivals over the time. Mainly in Noosa and Port Douglas and bits and pieces. So you just
got back from Noosa. What was the highlight of your experience up there?
That's 4 years in a row that we've been up there. Obviously,
doing
the craving show from 12 till 2 was the highlight of the weekend. But it's just getting to amongst the chefs and they're as Curl said, they're accessible. Everybody's accessible. You can walk around. They're in their stalls. Matt Preston's got a 150-meter queue for a selfie. But everyone else just mingles with the crowd, and they're out at the surf club dancing and singing karaoke. Yeah. It's that thing that goes across all those festivals.
How Ian just said that it's kind of like the schoolies of foodies, but I think it's more like the Coachella.
No, it's schoolies for Melbourne chefs. Absolutely.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I'm very jealous I haven't been there, and I feel like I'm missing out.
Excellent. So we'll be right back to talk more food, travel, and some tips right after these traps.
Hi, I'm Anna De Silva, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
We're listening to you. SMS 0427 JOY 949. Email onair at joy.org.au or call us 1300 JOY 949.
It's 1:29 on Cravings on Joy 94.9 with the wonderful Danny Venn.
Thank you.
We're still here. We've briefly touched on Queensland with young Ian Curley. Let's talk about Tasmania.
Let's go down south.
Let's skip through Bass Strait, fly over my little oil rig on the way to Tasmania. So, you know, you've got pure waters, cool climates, pristine environment. It's good for whiskey and cider and beer and
cheese and oysters and wine and basically everything, and I kind of want to live in Tasmania.
Yeah, except...
It's too cold.
Yeah.
that's the only thing that's stopping me.
That's the word I was after,
but
cold.
I think that's the beauty of Tasmania, because if it was warmer, it wouldn't... I think everyone would flock down there and it wouldn't be as beautiful as it is.
Yeah, it would be like an island paradise.
Yeah,
well,
maybe.
More of an island paradise.
But I love Tasmania. I went over to Tasmania a few years ago now, went over on the Spirit, which during the day, don't ever do that.
Do the overnight.
9 hours. Yeah, definitely do overnight. Yep. And friends of ours and my partner, we packed up our car and we camped and just hit the road.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And we headed to Hobart and did the Taste of Tasmania.
Okay.
Which is fabulous.
So that's December, January in that time frame. Yeah.
Look, I think it's such an amazing time to head down to Hobart. The city, it just comes alive with all of the producers that are from all over Tasmania, and they set up in this. It's kind of small compared to a lot of the other food festivals in Australia.
Okay.
But it's bustling for Hobart standard.
Yeah. And the winemakers and distillers down there.
It's great.
Just amazing. And the food, oysters.
It is. And one of the highlights, I think, of my Tasmania experience was freshly shucked oysters straight from the pristine waters of Tasmania. Bottle of bubbly, sitting on the coast, cracking them open, you know, freshly shucking them yourself, just looking out on the sea. It's such an amazing place. Oh. And we're so lucky that it's not far away from Victoria.
No. And get the overnighter, as you said, on the Spirit.
Yeah, get the overnighter. Yeah. Do not.
And then fly home.
And Dark Mofo is on next month.
It is.
In June. Yep. At Mona, obviously, which, again, I think celebrates all things art, music and food. A fantastic place to go.
But it's good to get down any time. Like, I don't think there's a best time to go.
I don't think so.
I went, many years ago. Let's go 16 years ago. And stayed at the Lamantine Forest Lodge. And we were meant to be there for 2 nights and stayed for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's just remarkable.
It's that kind of place.
Yeah, and do the Cradle Mountain walk and you get all the way to the top of Cradle Mountain and then it disappears and you can't see it from across the lake. But that's okay.
And now, South Australia.
Yes, lots going on there. I'd like to call it the wine capital of Australia. It's that good. And I get back there. Haven't been for 2 years, but like to get over there. There's a couple of little festivals, street festivals and stuff that have the local produce, wines, bits and pieces. But Tasting Australia's over there, just finished. Barossa Gourmet Weekend's in August.
I'm heading over there in July, so I'm missing out on all of this.
You're not going for a festival?
I'm just heading over.
Just going?
Yeah, just to see. I've never actually been.
Packing the car or you?
Flying over. I've never actually been to the Barossa or the Clare Valley.
It's so good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's the best variety of wine over there, would you say?
The white variety.
Okay,
it's all good.
It's all good.
I can't narrow it. I cannot narrow it down.
The Barossa Reds, I'm hearing.
Yeah.
The Shiraz.
I'm not a red drinker, so.
The Riesling.
Yeah, Rieslings. I see that. You've got me.
And what about, have you been to Maggie Beer's Pheasant Farm?
No.
No, you haven't been?
We're getting a nod from our awesome panellist here today. Young Mark Adams has kindly donated
Hello,
his
joysters.
Time. Hello.
Yeah, sorry, I can't. I'm chafing at the bit to get in here.
Is it as good as like what I am imagining it to be? Or is it like, do you get there and you're like, oh, is this it? I've been wanting to go to the Barossa.
No.
Okay,
no.
Tell me.
It's pretty special because it's an old school foodie area. It's been doing it since the 1850s. Mm. So because of the German migration, it had a very different mindset than most of the country. So food and wine is very much imbued in the culture, slightly different than the Anglo thinking. And when you go to a place like the Pheasant Farm and Maggie Beer is mincing around, which she quite often is, and she is incredibly generous.
I can see the drool coming out of your mouth.
Oh, my God. It is it's a fantastic experience. But all around the Barossa Valley, you see these, you know, quaint little very German Lutheran churches that nobody goes to, but they're still there and they're cute. And the heritage of, like, the Henschke family.
Yes.
And
because that's the thing. That's all those really, like, established families that live there, like the Henschkes, as you say.
Exactly. Yeah. And they started out in the 1850s or 60s migrating to that area, as did my great-great-great-grandparents. So that part of the world is really quite unusual in Australia. South Australia was a convict-free colony.
Oh, they speak a bit, they say dance and chants instead of dance and chants.
That's correct.
Don't they?
Yeah, I talk about my aunt. But I say dance because you say dance in Victoria, you're likely to get shivved. So, but the Barossa Valley is a very special place, and not because that's where my family comes from originally, but when you go there, you'll see that it just takes the world in a very different view, and food and wine is what it rotates around.
I'm very excited because I have been to the Adelaide Central Markets, and that place sort of blew my mind away. So if the Barossa is anything like that in terms of the produce.
That's a dirty hole where people yell at you to buy their food. Barossa Valley is a very different experience.
Well, I loved the central market.
You're going to be exhilarated.
Yeah.
It really is. People taking food and wine from a really organic, sensible, deep level
Can I smother myself in Maggie Beer's Pheasant Farm pâté and just roll around?
I'm going to leave that up to the security guards at Maggie Beer's Pheasant Farm.
Yeah, although anyway, I was going to mention something about Sunday night on Channel 10. MasterChef Maggie's on with her.
Is she?
Oh, with her mystery box.
Yes,
apparently,
thank you. You can say that. I just
Yeah, well, you know what? Secretly, Maggie Beer, her challenges on MasterChef, they seem like all lovely because she's so just cuddly and everyone loves her. But she's actually kind of cruel in the kitchen.
Ooh.
Yeah, she is. One of the challenges she set at me in MasterChef, it was like there was four of us left and I think we were doing a Maggie Beer tureen and no one succeeded. In fact, we all failed. The recipe was impossible and no one won the challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bit of a flop.
Yeah, we'll try and find her and ask her for a rematch.
And Kangaroo Island, I don't know if anyone else has been to Kangaroo Island. I haven't. I'd love to, but they have a festival that's on in April, which we've all just missed. But I know.
I'm sure some people did go.
Plan it for next year. No, this is the thing. You need to plan these things. You can't just go, I'm going to get on a plane and go to a festival. Need to plan. So think, 6 months out from a festival, what's on, where you want to go, what you're looking for, temperature-wise. There's always something. Every part of this country now has a food or and food wine festival. So have a look, see where you want to go. There's always something for everyone. Now, I think we should go right across the other side of the country
to Western Australia.
Let's do it.
Now, I think that what you were just saying is really important, planning ahead and booking ahead, because I can guarantee you that the Gourmet Escape in Western Australia, which is usually at the end of November. I'm sure that already flights are booked out because that is just a massive festival. Has the headline chefs like Hessen Blumenthal headlining. So I am so jealous.
If Heston's name's on the bill, it's a sold-out event.
It is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is. I would love to go. I've never been. Have you been?
To WA?
To Margaret River.
I haven't been for the festivals.
No, to the festival.
No, not to the festivals.
I've been to the Margaret River. It's beautiful. Yes. Such an amazing destination. Bunker Bay. Have you been there?
Yeah, Bunker Bay. Yeah.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning. The best beach I think I've seen in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a
actually,
big
cool. I don't know. There's something special about it.
Okay.
It's like the whitest of white sand.
I'm from North Queensland, so I'll argue until I go.
Is that why you sort of stiffened up a little bit? Sort of got your back up like, yep, that's the best beach, whatever.
We have the best beaches in the world. No. So, the Margaret River's great. They have the Gourmet Escape Weekend.
The truffles. I think you think Margaret River, you think truffles, surely. Oh, I do.
You do.
Oh, the truffle butter. The best truffle butter that I've ever had. It's so amazing.
I got some triple cream brie with truffle through it the other day.
Stunning.
Yeah. As I was shoveling a kilo of this in, I thought I better share. So I didn't share.
Coming up to winter, there is obviously the truffle season. Manjimup, is that where
Manjimup,
it is? So they have their truffle festival as well, the Truffle Kerfuffle.
Ooh.
Which I love that name. How good's that truffle kerfuffle?
Truffle kerfuffle.
Love it.
Yeah, as long as I don't say alcohol, there'll be some. Yeah.
Truffle. Have you ever been truffle hunting?
No.
I've
Pete truffle. Has, I've, and Pete can talk about it all day.
I've been. Oh, really? So he talks about it all day, does he?
No. Well, he doesn't, but he could. I'm sure.
I went to Canberra last year in winter, and it was blooming freezing, and saw how truffles are hunted. I thought they were hunted by pigs, but apparently the pigs eat the truffles.
Yeah.
So they don't use pigs anymore. They use extremely trained dogs that the farm that I went to, someone in Europe had offered €150,000 for their dog, and they said no. Because that's how valuable they are. But the dog runs around, sniffs out truffles, and just gently digs, and then you've got to go.
Then you finish off.
Yeah, and you smell the soil, make sure that it's ripe. You have to have a very well-trained nose, and then you sort of dig up the truffle. It's quite fascinating.
So there's no more throwing yourself between yourself and Doris the pig for the truffle and hope for, which is always going to get
amazing.
Ugly.
Amazing, and just the smell of the truffle. And I just love it how truffles change flavour depending on what they're served with and how they're served.
Temperature, climate.
Chicken or with chips.
We haven't had any truffles delivered to home for a while, so I'd like to forget what they taste like so I can relive that moment.
Yeah, no, they're beautiful.
Absolutely. So you have the Gourmet Escape, there's Truffle Kerfuffle, the Ord Valley Muster. That sounds great.
What
up
is
in
that?
Ord River.
The Ord Valley Muster. Is that an actual muster? Like bulls?
Yeah, you'd be on horses and riding around along the river there, chasing things, digging things up and getting the camp cooker absolutely blasting during that event.
Sounds fantastic. And I think Western Australia, it's the type of place that you can go any time of year and get the best wine and seafood. And what are those little yabby things called?
Marrons.
Yeah, the marrons. Yeah, yeah, like interesting produce that you can't get on the east coast.
I remember going marroning when I was over there as a chef for a small amount of time.
And marrons are kind of like a cross between like a lobster and a prawn, aren't they? Sort of.
They're a freshwater, crayfish, sort of yabby. Just absolutely delicious. And you just sit there with your rock, or find a rock in the water, drop your net in, wait for the marron to go over, lift it up.
Mm, beautiful.
Split them in half, straight on the barbecue.
Yum.
Garlic butter.
Oh,
glass of white wine. Couple of beers.
Sounds great.
Awesome.
Well, hopefully I get back to West Australia soon, be able to experience that one.
You may well be lulling everyone into a false sense of security while they're driving, just Homer Simpson. You're painting quite an audible picture there.
How was that? Did that work? All right, it's 1:42 and you're on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
It's 1:47 and you're on Cravings on Joy 94.9 with the wonderful Danny Venn.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you. We're still here. And
well, we listened to Eva Cassidy, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
She was live in the studio. It's hard to believe.
I know.
It is literally unbelievable.
Well,
what
I
was she singing to us?
She was. Thank you, Mark. She was singing Take Me to the River by the lovely Eva Cassidy. How's that? Should have been born in the 1950s. I missed my calling. So driving this bus, we've hit a few potholes along the way.
Well, we've been around the country. We've been to Tassie, we've been to South Australia and Western Australia.
Now, we're going to dabble quickly into New South Wales before we...
We don't want to stay there too long.
Well, no, they can't listen. It's okay.
Actually, they can listen online at joy.org.au/listen live.
I love New South Wales. I love going up to Sydney for food. It's like a little treat going
up there. Southern Highlands.
Now that I have a baby, though, I don't know when it's going to happen again.
Yes. High country, the New South Wales High Country around Jindabyne.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Orange.
Oh, my.
What do they do in Bega, Mark?
They make cheese and put their name on it, like Michael Klim does with milk. Was it Michael Klim who did that with milk?
Yeah, no, something, really? But it was for your
who
face.
Who put their name on the milk? There was an ad.
No, that was Delta Goodrum. Goodrum. Delta Goodrum.
Pete Evans put his name on some name coconut milk. Water. It's kind of close.
Yeah.
In the same family.
Touchy subject. He doesn't like to eat. We like to eat at Cravings, but thanks, Pete. So New South Wales, there's 14 different regions within New South Wales. State, great getaways, fresh produce, stellar restaurants. Hate to admit it, they've got probably some of the best restaurants in Australia. I hope my chef friends aren't listening. So you've got Quay in Sydney.
Key, I think it's pronounced.
Key. I said that. Rickstein Stein. So I'm going to say everything wrong now. Rickstein's at Bannister.
Is Rickstein that aggressive?
He's sounding Mollymook down at the south coast of New South Wales, which is another area I haven't been to, but I would love to go. I've heard such good things about it.
The south coast of New South Wales is just stunning.
The Rumour and that kind of area.
All of New South Wales is stunning. I'm not from there, don't.
Yes, stop it.
Rockpool, obviously the first Rockpool started there, and that's grown since Neil Perry started that up back in the, would have been 90s now.
Yeah, I saw Neil Perry the other week. Just wanted to cut the ponytail. It has to go.
No, it's his signature. It's his signature style. I don't think it'll ever go.
Move on.
It would be like Matt Preston losing his cravat. It's not going to happen.
Unless you throw it in a pool. So there's a couple of festivals in and around the New South Wales region. I want to talk about the Orange Wine Festival, and it's not about orange wine. It's wine in orange, just for those. So that's October, November. So that's still plenty of time to get yourself organised to head north for that one.
A nice time of year to go up to Orange because it can get really chilly up there near Bathurst and it's freezing.
So I think
there.
It's a good time of year to get up there.
Have some lamb. There's lots of lamb farms around there. Matt Moran's lamb farm is just near Orange.
Okay. Look at you go. You're just wealth of knowledge. Unwind, which is in the Riverina. That's in June.
I like that play on words. Unwind. Yes. So we can have a wine in, at the Unwind Festival.
And they're boasting
it's
celebrity
wine time
chefs.
All
and...
the time at the Unwind Festival.
Just unwind.
That's
know.
In June, so that's just around the corner, really.
So plenty
it?
Of time. Oh, there's plenty of time to get up for that one. So have a look at that one on the... and the Hunter Valley region have a food and wine month in June as well. So... you could spend the whole month of June in New South Wales and get treated like a king or a queen.
Yes. One of my favourite chefs, Martin Bowitz, he left Longgrain to start a farm in the Hunter Valley.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure he'd be featured in that festival.
Got wiped out with a bit of water the Did other it? Week. Yes. Bumped into Marty up in Noosa because you bump into everyone in Noosa. And no, I'm not being paid by the Noosa International Food and Wine Festival. But bumped into Marty. I said, how is the, you know, he's been wiped out by rain. They're replanting this week and hope to get his little organic produce farm back up.
That's the thing when you've got your own farm, you've got to battle the elements.
Yeah, but he's loving the change and he looks young and fresh and that's what happens when you step out of a kitchen that's been so successful for so long. So, yeah.
He he was on the SBS, what's that, the food show on SBS that everyone knows and I can't remember the name of.
Eating with Ethnics?
Close. Anyway, he made a Black Forest cake on this show.
Yep.
And I asked my mum last year for my birthday. I said, Mum, all I want for my birthday is Martin Bowitz's Black Forest cake. And she did make a very good replica.
And Mum made it.
Yeah.
Well done.
I know. It had like 50 different elements in it for a cake that should just be quite simple, but it was beautiful. It was amazing.
Speaking of elements, saw a chef the other day who were renamed Nameless. He was making fried onion rings. And the elements that went into
making... Ian Hewitson.
No.
Who else would make fried onion rings? Gary, Megan.
No. Doing quite well overseas. And Curtis 2 hours Stone. To make flour.
I just want to... I don't even care what... I just want to guess the chef now.
No.
He took 2 hours to make what?
Just the flour and made from onions and dehydrated everything. Similar to Heston. And the time and the effort that went in to make this fried onion ring, which is one of 26 courses that you can have in his restaurant, is, just blew my mind. I thought, who comes up with 2 days to make just the flour as to make the onion rings that, he just recreated on stage. In the end, it looked like
In what country is he very successful?
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk later. I may or may not offend people. Great chef.
You may.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
You may.
I'm not. anyway, so made this thing. In the end, it looked like a Krispy Kreme donut. And I just thought, and it tastes like onion rings. So therefore, I wanted to eat it.
Amazing. Yes. Sounds fantastic.
All right, so we're going to jump on this quick bus and we're going to fly back into Melbourne so quickly and talk about things in Melbourne.
Well, obviously, Melbourne is a fantastic mecca for food festivals. There's so much going on. Now, I actually live in the Yarra Valley region, so I love just being able to access the gorgeous wineries and restaurants of the Yarra Valley just around my doorstep. It's just 1 hour from Melbourne, and there's always something going on in the Yarra Valley. Do you have a favourite place to visit in the Yarra Valley? Have you been there?
Yes. Now, Prosecco, that's all I want to say. One word, King Valley.
That's
the King Valley. All I wanted to say today was Prosecco.
I've been up... Okay, so if we're going to go, we'll go up north a little bit.
I was having trouble changing gears in the bus there for a moment, and my mind was on trying to keep the bus just quite on the road.
Well, the King Valley is the home of Prosecco. Yep. Brown Brothers, Pizzini.
Delzotto. Etc.
Shall we speak to someone from...
Shall we see if we can get someone on the line?
Yeah. Let's just go for a little break and then see if we can reach out to some Prosecco makers.
Excellent.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
You're back on Joy 94.9 with Cravings, Nathan and Danny driving this bus as we fly into Melbourne.
Kind of driving it.
Well, we're running out of petrol. I know that for a fact. But a couple of things coming up in Victoria, which is nice and close. You can pack the car, get away, or just get on a tram and come into the city. So we've got the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, which happens between February and March. We've got the Good Food Week coming up in the next couple of weeks here
Taste
in Melbourne.
Of Melbourne's
Taste
actually,
of Melbourne,
actually. Not Taste of Melbourne, sorry, the Good Food and Wine
Good
Show,
Food
of
and
course,
wine show,
which
yeah.
is it, just the convention centre.
Correct.
Yeah, that's coming up in June, isn't it? Or July? June.
It's June.
Long weekend.
Exactly.
Queen's birthday.
Thank you.
And then there's a Truffle Festival as well, which I think it's in its second year this year, which is at the Flemington Showground. So if you love truffles, have a look online about that, because apparently it started last year and it's just taken off. So this year's going to be bigger and better.
Excellent. Now, you live on the edge of the Yarra Valley?
Yeah, the edge. Kind of the Yarra Valley
the funky
region.
Edge, yeah.
Yeah, the funky edge. The St Andrews sort of hippie edge.
And 20 minutes to a winery, 5 minutes to
Not
a winery.
Not even, just a roll down the hill, which is fabulous on a Friday afternoon.
Haven't received my invite for that Sunday afternoon.
Millenbeek Wines is just around the corner from me, which is a great drop of Pinot. There's some really nice Pinots actually in the Yarra Valley.
Okay.
I love it. I love living out there. It's great. But I have been up to the High Country before and, the King Valley area and at Brown Brothers Winery there. Have you been up to Brown Brothers?
Yes.
Fabulous place.
It's a great day.
Love the Brown family.
It's a great
family.
Day. Lay on the grass. Yeah, drink.
That's it.
Lay on the grass
Prosecco.
A bit more. Roll over onto someone else's beanbag. It's a great day up there. So, yeah, there's lots of things to do in Melbourne. If you want, just pack up your car. No destination, just drive. You'll come across food, cheese, wine.
Mm.
Yeah, you just have to be prepared to stumble across things. Get lost.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's the best way.
There's a quote.
There's a quote. I'll
write that
Get
down
lost.
For my book.
That's it.
All right. Well, I think we've just pulled into 225 Bourke Street on the Cravings bus. haven't received any messages from Pete to say, you're divorced. Yeah, or anything. So I hope I haven't offended anyone today.
Well, it's been a bit of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming in, Danny. And a shame we didn't get to meet Bubs, but there's always a next time.
That's okay. You can have a look on my website, which I've just launched. I'll just quickly drop it in.
You've got a plug.
TheWholeheartedCook.com. So if you're interested in whole food, healthy recipes and raw desserts and that kind of thing, do check out my new website.
Awesome. Do that. Thank you, Mark, for panelling.
You're very welcome. It's a shame we didn't get to speak to Fred Pizzini.
I think there was a tractor problem.
Yeah, or he was popping a cork somewhere else.
It is one. Yeah, it's after 1 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
There'd be Prosecco something spilling that he'd have to mop up. And I'm Nathan Miller. Join Pete Dillon next week on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.